Recordings have started.
Thank you, Jonathan. I'll do a roll call. Please answer to your name if you are on the call. Thank you. Rick Fawcett?
I'm here.
Donna Austin?
Here.
Jonathan Robinson? I know Jonathan's on. James Bladel? Not yet on. Joyce Karen is on.
Yes, I'm here.
Volker Greiman?
Yes, I'm here.
Thomas Rickert?
Present.
Phil Corwin?
Present.
Susan Kawaguchi?
Present.
Brian Winterfeld is absent and has given his proxy to Heather Forrest. Heather Forrest?
Here, Glenn. Thank you.
Osvaldo Nuova will be late coming on to the call. Tony Holmes is absent and has given his proxy to Osvaldo Nuova. Marila Maciel? Amar Al-Sada? David Cake? Edward Morris?
Here, Glenn.
Abby Doria?
I'm here, thank you, Glenn.
Stephanie Perrin? And Stephanie Perrin has got the proxy for Daniel Reed, who is absent. Carlos Gutierrez? Maybe he will be late. Olivier Cretin-Leblanc? ALAC liaison. Olivier asked for a call out, but I think he's probably not on the call yet. Patrick Miles is absent. He is the CCNSO liaison. We have Mason Cole.
Lynn.
Pardon?
And Olivia says he is on the Adobe Connect.
On the Adobe Connect, yes. Thank you very much, Olivier. And for staff, we have Marika Koenig, Julie Headland, Mary Wong, Lars Hoffman, Steve Chan, myself, Glenda Saint-Gervais, and I think we have David Olive as well. Thank you, Jonathan. Over to you.
Thanks, Glenn. Welcome, everyone, to our GNSO Council meeting of 23rd of July. So that was item 1.1 of the agenda. 1.2 is an opportunity to provide any update to your statement of interest. So please do raise your hand now if you were to provide any updates. Seeing none, are there any comments or points relating to the agenda? I note that we have a request from Philip Corwin to add something under the any other business item, and that's already been captured. So are there any other points? Actually, looking at the agenda as it stands and public Adobe Connect from Glenn, this is looks like the previous version that we prior to our review when I look at item 9. So if you could just look at that, whoever's posted that agenda, doesn't look current for the last revised version.
We'll get the correct version up, Jonathan.
Thank you. It's really only the any other business items, I believe, was the main change there to ensure that's the case. Okay, good. Thanks for that. So then in terms of the minutes of the previous meetings, let's watch it. So this is changing in front of me now, so let me just go back. Yeah, so we should have a full set of minutes apart from the June meeting has not been yet posted and approved. So we are still waiting to post minutes from the June meeting, but other than that, we're current with the minutes. Thomas, go ahead.
Thanks very much, Jonathan. I'd like to follow up on an email that I sent to you and Glenn. There is a partial overlap of this call and the upcoming CCWG call. which is quite decisive for our progress, which is why I need to leave this call early, and I would appreciate if we could ensure that my part can be presented before the end of the first hour.
Thanks, Thomas. Yeah, I did just see that email, and we'll bring item 6 ahead of item 5 if necessary, or keep a track on it. And depending on where we get to with the first 4 items, if we get through item 5, we'll stick to the schedule. If not, we'll bring you forward. Okay, good. So under the next item, item 2, we just have a quick look at the open items on the action list. And I've been through that yesterday. I don't think there's a whole lot to cover that isn't touched on in this meeting itself. We'll touch on the meeting planning later. If you haven't already completed the survey from Buenos Aires, I guess it's not too late to complete it now. Could someone correct me if I'm wrong there? But I think, you know, ideally it would have been done, but please do complete that if... Thanks, Marika. So Marika confirms that it is not too late to complete the survey if you still have the opportunity. Please do note, anyone who is expecting to or likely to remain on the council post the annual meeting in Dublin, that we would like you to be present at the meeting, and you will be funded for an additional night in the hotel in order to stay for that second Friday of the meeting. So typically we have our wrap-up and, of course, the public session and the closing cocktails and all the rest are on the Thursday, and then we will run an induction and development session for the council on the Friday of that week. So we would very much appreciate if you could stay for that Friday meeting. And just to note, I mean, some people were unsure when booking traveling before and so on. I think it's our intention, and again, staff could perhaps help me remind me, but it was previously the way we worked was that led after the induction and development day into a dinner to get together and afterwards, and I expect that is still planned. So it's really a very valuable opportunity to both work together with the more experienced councillors to plan the key themes of the work ahead, obviously within the scope and remit of the council, but also to induct and inform and educate any new councillors coming on board. And it makes a really it seems to be a very effective way of bringing new councillors on board. So, you know, we can't make it mandatory, but in terms of a productive and effective council for the year ahead, there's an investment gone into it, and your investment in that session, your personal investment, will ensure your value for your community and those whom you represent on the council. David, Kate, go ahead.
I just wanted to basically back up what you've said, but also add that we have tended to talk about this as a training, you know, induction and training for new councillors day, but this really is mostly a lot of it is planning and strategic planning and so on, and I think it's really important for active councillors, returning councillors to attend as well. It's a really valuable day, I found, in especially the last time we ran it. So really hope everyone can be there. That's all. Thanks.
Thanks, David. I appreciate that. And that really the only reason I keep clear a little of the point on strategy is although we have thought about key themes and worked on those, it's just to make sure that there's some sensitivity about the role and remit of the council within the GNSO. And so it's making sure we stick within it, within the boundaries of what is set out for the council in the bylaws. The objective is to make sure that the council is fully effective for the year ahead. So agreed, to that extent, it's strategic planning as well. So, and thanks, Volker, for your support in the chat. Good. So hopefully we'll see all of you there, and we'll make it a productive session. Reminds me, can we put a note then under this session, please, that we need to arrange an additional action, Glenn, that a facilitator needs to be arranged for that session. We need to line up someone to do so. So that's important.
I'll do that, Jonathan.
We capture that as, thank you, as action number one from the call. Good. So that's that. And then glancing down that list further, many of the items have either been completed or will be dealt with in the remainder of this call. So I'm not going to walk through them laboriously. To the extent that they're completed, that's good. To the extent that they come up in later in this meeting, we'll deal with them there. So any other questions or points? Checking the... Yeah, Thomas, that's a good point, the prospect of having outgoing counselors at that meeting. It's, I mean, some of this is about the issue of funding, but that's a good point. Typically, the scope of the funding is to cover the council members and relevant policy staff. I personally have no objection to a further contribution. It's an interesting point. Maybe we can think about that as well in terms of either planning for either meetings or, I mean, my personal view is I wouldn't object to any councillors staying on, but right now I don't think we've planned for that in terms of funding for it. Okay. Any other comments or questions in and around the overall action list that we've just touched on, but and also the project list? And actually, maybe a good question to anyone. Any objections to any councillors who are standing down, should they be in Dublin for the Friday or have the opportunity to attend, any objections or concerns with their attendance so we can make that clear and understand if there are any concerns about that? Okay, so I'm seeing a run of comments there in the chat indicating that there is a receptiveness to that participation. So, Glenn, if you could note that as well under this area, that we might formally communicate that to outgoing councillors that their presence or attendance would be well. Of course, we'll need to know, so we plan for that if anyone is, and we'll want a prior acceptance or intention to participate, and their attendance would be welcome.
Logistics. I'll do that, Jonathan, and then I can also alter the hotel nights as well.
Okay, then you'll need a prior commitment, though, if that's the case. You will need a prior commitment. I'm not sure about the budget issues there. That's something you can take offline with staff. So at the moment, I've only gone so far as to say we'd welcome inviting prior councillors should they be present. If there is a funding issue, I suggest you take that up internally from a sort of staff point of view and clarify whether that's possible or not. Thanks.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Okay. Next item is we have nothing on our consent agenda item under item 3, and so I suggest we proceed straight forward to the motion, which is the one and only motion we have on the table today, and that's the opportunity to approve the review of the GAP communique from Buenos Aires. Now, you'll remember this is, in some senses, quite timely to come onto this because at our previous annual induction and development session, one of the suggestions made, a constructive suggestion that arose from Bruce Tonkin's input, was to think about how we might, as part of our overall work on improving the way in which we work with the GAC and within other groups within the community. There's an open mic. I think it might be, I see one, maybe Julie. I'm not sure who's got that. You could just make sure mics are muted. Getting an echo back. Thanks. So we took that suggestion on board. We've been slightly slower than we intended getting it sorted out, but we've nevertheless now, in a timely way, used the template that we developed, and with Focus admirable leadership, we have now processed the most recent GAC communique and sort of filtered it in the way in which we planned to do, or processed it in the way in which we planned to do, and looked at the policy-related implications. So let me hand over to Volker if there is anything else you would like to say, Volker, in terms of remarks or comments on, I think, on the substance of the way in which we process the GAP communique and take any questions or comments on that. So before presenting the motion as such, Volker, you might want to just comment on the content of what we've done there, those three items, and just see if there's any comment or discussion on it from other councillors.
Yes, thank you, Jonathan. First of all, I would like to thank Marika, who has been invaluable in summarizing and analyzing the comments. We have looked at the GAC communique that has come out of Buenos Aires, and from that we have analyzed how that impacts current, past, or future genes or policy work. Put that in the table that we had prepared last time around, but weren't able to finish complete response at that time. So we used that work that had gone before to press that into a format, so to speak, and afterwards the proposed analysis was distributed to the council list for comments, of which there were none, and then we have moved forward to the motion.
Thanks. So, Volker, thank you. Are there any questions or comments on the content of those three items and how we've dealt with them in the document that's processed it?
The document.
Thank you, Amma. Go ahead, Volker.
I just wanted to point out, if anyone still wants to look at the document, I didn't have the chance to read it when it was posted to the list. It's included in the motion, so if you wanted to give it a quick read before or while this discussion is going on, please go ahead.
Thanks, Volker. And I note that in the chat, Amma has volunteered to second the motion, so that's welcome. Thank you, Amma. Let's record you as the seconder of the motion. We do need a seconder for the motion, so it's great that we've got you to do that. Thank you very much. So any comments or questions on the content itself of the GAC, of the document we propose to send to the board and ultimately communicate to the GAC? Is there anything in that content, Volker, that you would like to highlight or get a comment or question on to make sure that there's anything you would like to make sure people are specifically aware of?
Thank you, Jonathan. Not quite per content. I mean, if you look at the proposed review, it's very bare bones, as in identifying the issues and framing them for the board to see, to help them see what our work on those topics is or is going to be or has been and what the status of that is. It's not really, we don't really say, for example, that this is, we don't have anything controversial in there. I think it's a very formal analysis informing the board of work that has gone on, is going on, or will go on.
Okay. Well, thanks, Volker. Then if we don't have further comment or question, let's proceed to present the motion. I think, as is customary, there's no reason particularly to go through all of the whereas clauses. I think the important points are that we vote on are the resolve clauses. So if you could present those to the council and then, providing no one else raises their hands or has any questions or issues arising, we can move forward to a vote on the motion.
Thank you, Jonathan. I will proceed to read the resolve clauses then. First, the GNSO Council adopts the GNSO review of the Buenos Aires GAC communique link and requests that the GNSO Council Chair communicates the GNSO review of the Buenos Aires GAC communique to the ICANN Board. Second, following the communication of, to the ICANN Board, the GNSO Council requests that the GNSO Council Chair informs the GAC Chair as well as the GAC GNSO Consultation Group of the communication between the between the GNSO Council and the ICANN Board. And that's it.
Thanks, Volker. So it'll be clear to everyone that not only will we prepare and references communicate to the board, we will make sure it goes to the GAC chair and secretariat in addition, as well as that the GAC GNSO consultation group is aware of it. Any final questions or comments before we move this to a vote? Any objections to a voice vote?
Jonathan, this is Glenn.
Glenn, go ahead.
I would just like noted that Maria Maciel from the NCG is not on the call, and I would like to ask if anyone has been given a proxy for her at the last minute. I have not received anybody. Anyone? So just to make sure that she will be absent from the vote. Thank you, Jonathan.
Okay, great. Thanks, Glenn. James suggests we use the Adobe tick. I'm not sure that we have everyone in the Adobe room. I mean, I have no objection to doing that. We could try that. It's something. It's possibly easier, James, just to see if there are any no votes and abstentions, and that clarifies it quite quickly. So let me see. Let me call. Would anyone like to vote no to the motion? Please make yourself known. Make sure microphones are muted unless you're actively speaking. Do I hear no one wanting to vote no? Does anyone like to abstain from the motion, from voting on the motion? So I see no votes and no abstentions, and therefore we will record everyone present as having voted in favor of the motion. So if you could record that, please, Glenn.
Thank you, Jonathan, with the proxies that people hold. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, including the proxies. Okay, so self-evidently the motion passes. I don't think we've got it in the agenda as such, but it does say voting threshold simple majority, so therefore the motion passes. Now, I note that Maria has just joined the meeting. Maria, we have just voted on the motion, and you've joined exactly as we included the vote. If no one has any objection, I think we should take your vote and add that to the vote. Notwithstanding the fact that it is passed, I think it would be useful to now record you as present and to record your vote. So if you could let it be known whether you would like to support the motion, abstain from voting on the motion, or vote no for the motion, you could let us know that as soon as possible, please. Thank you, Maria. Glenn, if you could note that Maria has voted in support of the motion in the chat. So if we could record that as a vote in favor of the motion, please, providing there are no objections to that slightly late vote.
Thank you, Jonathan. I will.
Good. Thank you, everyone. Let's move then on to item 5, which is an opportunity to receive an update and have some discussion on the new GTLD registration data policy development process. And to lead us on that will be Marika Konings from staff. So let me hand straight over to you, Marika, mindful of the fact that we do have some time constraint, but it looks like we should be well within the time to accommodate Thomas on item 6. So please go ahead, Marika.
Thanks, Jonathan. So this is Marika, and yes, I'll keep it brief. And just in advance already, apologize if there's any background noise. I'm in a public location, and there may be some noise around me. So basically, this is an item that was carried over from our public session in Buenos Aires. As you may recall, we had initially anticipated that the preliminary issue report would have been published by that date, but as we needed a little bit more time to do so, that this item was deferred to this meeting. So this now gives me an opportunity to give you an update on the issue report that has been published in the meantime and the expected next steps. So as you may recall, and the information we shared a while back to the council mailing list, that on the 26th of May, the board reconfirmed its request for a preliminary issue report on this topic following the work that has been done by the process framework group that was constituted of board members as well as council members to talk through a best approach for dealing with a PDP on this topic. So in response to that, staff published a preliminary issue report on the 13th of July, and the comment period will remain open until the 6th of September. As noted, the issue report is to a large extent based on the process framework as has been agreed to between the council and the board. So you'll see that flowing through the whole document as well as the draft charter that is included in the preliminary issue report. So a brief snapshot then of the information that you can find in the report. I think, as you all know, this issue has been extensively covered in many efforts that predate this work. So we've tried to capture as much of information as possible on those preceding efforts. Other information that may be relevant to the PDP to consider, for example, the GAC communiques on this topic, letters that have been received from the Article 29, a working party, WHOIS studies, statements from stakeholder groups and constituencies have all been included or referenced as relevant information. The information provided by the expert working group in its final report and recommendations, which are to form the basis for this work, are, of course, included. And as said, it also further introduces the process framework that has been developed by the board and GNSO Council to be able to address the many significant as well as interdependent areas that this PDP covers. Then there's a section as well that specifically deals with a discussion of all those proposed issues that need to be addressed. And then the issue report also includes a draft PDP working group charter, again, modeled on the process framework that basically outlines the way in which the PDP is expected to be structured and managed. So those are the different elements that are covered in the report and that we hope to obtain input on. So as a very brief reminder of the process framework that was developed by a group, and several of you active in the group are on the call, so do feel free to speak up or correct me if you can get anything wrong here. But basically, on broad baseline, the group agreed that this should be done in a kind of three-phase approach, where the work is broken down in three distinct phases, and after each of those, that would be a check by the council. You know, is sufficient progress being made? Have we checked all the boxes, and are we ready to move over to the next phase of the process? So phase one would really focus on the policy requirements definition, so the if and why are we doing this. Phase two would focus on the policy functional design, you know, so what are we actually going to be doing? And then phase three would really be focused on implementation guidance on how are we actually going to implement all of this. So some of the steps were taken before the, this process were, of course, the new issue report, public comment on it, the final issue report, and there's also the expectation that the process working group may come together and look at the comments received to determine whether there's any tweaks or updates
without
that need to
mobile
be
iron,
to this,
I can access it.
To this process framework that needs to be reflected in the final report. I think we have an open mic off. And then, of course, as with the usual PDP, at the end stage of all that, it would be GeneSphere Council and Board consideration of the recommendations, formation of an implementation review team, and which would be informed by the implementation guidance that's provided by the PDP working group.
Mm.
And here you see, and again, this all comes from the work that has been done by the process framework working group, basically identifying which are those different issues that need to be covered. And as I said, all of those are again, reflected in detail in the report. So the anticipation is that for each of those phases, those specific topics would come back. Of course, each of them then with a specific focus on the policy requirements, the policy functional design, and implementation and coexistence guidance. So this gives you a bit an idea of how this is expected to work. You'll see here as well that the reference to A, B, C, the process working group also did quite a bit of work on trying to identify which topics could be considered in sequence, which ones would need to be dealt with subsequently. So that is also something that has been covered and is reflected in the issue report. I already mentioned this, the recommended methodology and timeline. Again, the proposal is that the PDP would work along the line of phases, where on each phase there would be a sign-off by the council before it moves on to the next phase, and as well in close consultation with the board as the requester of this PDP to ensure that there's an ongoing communication and coordination around this topic and making sure that everyone's aligned in their thinking. I think the suggestion is that there would be a kind of a coordination team formed that would help with that process and, again, also be in a position to coordinate with the board, which I think is looking at creating a specific committee or group that would serve that purpose from their side. The idea is, of course, that there would be a sustained progress and timely completion of the process, so defining a timeline and a target as every PDP working group does. And again, looking at where there may be ways to do work in parallel, but also being aware of interdependencies that may exist. It has been suggested that this, for example, could be a PDP whereby face-to-face meetings would be beneficial, or as well as considering whether sub-teams could do or make progress on some of the work. So what input is being requested? As this is a preliminary issue report, we're mainly looking at input on, did we cover all the information? Did we miss anything? Is anything in there that's incorrect? And specifically as well, are there any issues that should be explored in addition to those that have already been described in the report? And again, you see all of those here. This is not the moment to maybe share opinions on some of the report works of others, or talk about solutions. The focus here is really on, is the issue properly scoped? Input on solutions or views on recommendations or other items that are in the report are more the phase for the working group to gather that and collect that information as one of the required steps of a PDP at their early stages. So very briefly, just again highlighting where we are in the process. As you know, we had an earlier version of the preliminary issue report, but due to the additional work that was undertaken by the EWG and then as well the subsequent board, GeneSphere Council effort, the preliminary issue report was published again. So we're now in the phase of gathering public comments and reviewing that input that has been received. So from our perspective, the timeline is that July, August, comments will be coming in. We hope that in September we're in a position to update the final report to reflect those public comments. As said, there may be a need or a desire by the council and the board process working group to come back together again to look as well at those comments and see if they are the perspective that further updates need to be made to the framework itself, following which then the GeneSphere Council would consider the charter for a PDP working group As said, and as you, I think you all know, as part of the PDP improvements, the charter is being included and is out as well for public comment. So the council will have the option to either adopt that charter and suggest modifications or potentially form a drafting team to either modify the draft charter or start afresh with a new approach. And basically from there, it would move into the PDP itself. So for further information, here are some links to the relevant documents. As noted, the deadline for comments is the 6th of October, so we all hope that you'll be encouraging your respective groups to provide input so we can move forward in this effort. And I think that's all I had at this stage.
Thanks, Marika. There's a question coming from James, which we'll just turn to in a moment. Can you just clarify one point for me and possibly for the benefit of others? Those phases you refer to, those are phases of the proposed PDP. How will those phases be dealt with in the issue report? Will they be spelt out in the issue report, or how does that phasing work? Go ahead, Marika, and then we'll come to the queue.
Yeah, so this is Marika. So basically, it's basically explained how it's expected to work. So the phase approach is indeed how the working group is expected to conduct this work. And again, those phases were developed or outlined by the process working group that was formed by the board and the GENESO Council. So what the issue report does is outline that proposed approach, also reflected then in the PDP working group charter. And again, this is also an opportunity for the community to comment on that and provide feedback on whether that's a desirable approach or whether further tweaks should be made. And if I can take the opportunity as well to mention one additional thing that I forgot to say before, that this is the first PDP that we're running following the adoption of the issue scoping recommendations that were developed by the GAC GENESO consultation group. So this is the first time where we've basically informed the GAC at the time of the request of the issue report. The GAC has responded and provided relevant links to documents that they have developed on this topic, and we've now also received their formal response as part of the a quick look mechanism approach, and we hope that will be shortly published, whereby basically they indicate that they believe that there are public policy implications related to this topic and that they expect that they will have an interest to be involved in this effort. So just wanted to note that process is also underway and being tested here, as well as other PDPs that will be commencing or have commenced over the last month.
Okay, thanks, Marika. James.
Hi, Jonathan. James speaking. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you, James. Go ahead.
Fantastic. Thank you, and thank you for enabling Adobe to Glenn. So thank you for the overview, Marika. I just wanted to emphasize that this is a very heavy lift. This could be a multi-year project, and I think it's very important that we get all the stakeholder groups on the record during this public comment. So take it with you on the beach or wherever headed on vacation, and then come back in late August and then get the comments ready. But I just wanted to point out one small item. It's really more of just nitpicking here a little bit, but the agenda item refers to this as new GTLD registration data policy, but the public comment and the issues report itself refers to it as next generation GTLD registration data policy. And I think that's an important distinction, because the use of the word new GTLD registration policy makes it seem as though it's limited only to new GTLDs, which of course it's not. And, you know, by the time this thing works its way through the process, we could be several rounds down the road, and the current new GTLDs could be old GTLDs. So I would just emphasize that we please use next generation wherever possible. And I just wanted to point that out. It confused me for a few moments. I had to go look it up. And so it's probably confusing for others too. Thanks.
Yeah, that's a good spot, James. Thank you for pointing that out. And actually, it's not correct as written, and should be it could be better written as a heading. So thanks for pointing that out. And we'll make sure that the item repeated in a future meeting. It's more clearly headed. Thank you. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Thanks very much, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. When we did the EWG group, there was at least the language was that we were doing a more or less a de novo review. Now, it seems to me that one of the things about WHO is that it was implicit always in the creation of ICANN from the Commerce Department that WHO is data would be available and public. And we can see from U.S. negotiations and their trade agreements that the Commerce Department continues to feel that WHO is data should be public. To what extent is that whole question in scope or out of scope of this review and working group? I realize that's a difficult question, but it is one that I would encourage folks to look at while they're looking at accountability, because it's, from some perspectives, it's directly in opposition to adherence to rule of law and the fundamental human rights that we consider important.
Okay. Well, any comments or points in response to that? Stephanie's point are welcome. I note that Marika suggested this is a potentially good comment and an input for something where for the public comment forum, and to make sure that that's covered when in public comment on the issue report itself. And James supports that as well. Amar, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. And I have a question, but I suspect this is Amar for the transcript. I have a question that I suspect the answer is probably similar to the answer to Stephanie's question. But I do note that this issues report is a fairly thorough one, and it really lists a lot of WHO is activities dating back to a task force in 2003. So I think it does a really good job of covering almost everything, at least I am aware of, that took place in terms of WHO is discussions that may impact this PDP. One of the activities that is not strictly a GNSO activity, because it was also an ad hoc group similar to the EWG, was another expert working group on internationalized registration data. And if I'm not mistaken, there is no mention of this group's work or their final reports in this issues report. I was just wondering what thoughts there may be on this. I'm guessing this may be something that would also be worthy of consideration in this PDP. I know it was considered in the PDP for translation and transliteration of contact information, and that is one PDP that is listed in this issues report. I figured I'd just mention that here. I probably plan to also include that in a comment on this issues report in preparation for the final report. Thanks.
Sorry, I was on mute. Apologies, Amar. I note that Marika records in the chat that this may have been taken into account by the EWG, but certainly, to the extent that it has or has not, this is still something you could potentially add in the public comment in addition. All right, well, I'm very mindful of making sure we accommodate the significant topic of ICANN accountability and the progress update on that ahead of the top of the hour when Thomas has to leave. So I think I'm going to nudge us on to that topic and recognize that we've got a good update from Marika on the development of this issue report. And it's clear what the timetable is. We've got a link to that presentation, so it should be available to all of you. So I think with that, I'll move us on to the next item, which is an opportunity to hear from Thomas on that. So Thomas, please go ahead and come in and bring us up to date with the latest work on the ICANN accountability and any questions or issues you feel are of particular importance and relevance to the council.
Thank you very much, Jonathan, and hello, everybody. I would like to briefly update you on the progress that has been made by the CCWG. As you might remember, we have analyzed the outcome of the first public comment period and I presented to you on that when we last met in Buenos Aires. One of the big issues at the time we saw was that the reference model for community empowerment, i.e. the legal vehicle used by the SOs and ACs to exercise the community powers, was under discussion and criticism. We had proposed a model whereby SOs and ACs would install legal entities through which they exercise certain powers, and this model was felt to be too complicated. The big progress that we made over the last couple of days was that our group has agreed on a new reference model. We have had a two-day face-to-face meeting in Paris last Friday and Saturday, and before that we had countless hours of volunteers to analyze, further analyze the public comments and draw the conclusions thereof and come up with proposals that would meet the needs of the community. So in Paris, we have had an in-depth discussion of the pros and cons of a variety of models that could be used. There was a voluntary model on the table, which basically leaves the situation more or less as it is at the moment without any enforceability mechanisms for the community. Then we discussed what we called an empowered SOAC designator model. We discussed an empowered SOAC membership model. And then a variation thereof was brought to the table and introduced to the discussion over the last weeks, and that is the single membership model. And the two big concerns that had been voiced with the models were that the voluntary model was deemed not to be robust enough for the community to allow them to enforce their rights in case there's a rogue board that is not willing to honor the community's wishes or honor decisions made by the independent review panel. On the other side of the spectrum, there is the membership model, which gives full authority to the community if need be, but there was the fear that SOs and ACs having membership status would give them statutory rights under Californian law and also the right to start derivative lawsuits against ICANN, and that was deemed as a risk that could destabilize ICANN. Just to give you an example, if we invent all these community powers for the community to use an IRP if they are aggrieved, or for the community to hold the board accountable with respect to decisions made on the budget, strategic plan, bylaw changes, and all of that. And if a single SOIC was in a position to bypass these community processes and run to a court immediately, that could destabilize and open the door for capture by individual interest groups, which is why this was criticized. So the new model, the new reference model, the single membership model, as we call it, puts all SOs and ACs, which we have in the community, together. They don't have to do anything, but they would jointly exercise rights as a single member. So they would be participants of the whole community being the sole member to ICANN. And with that, we would enable the community to only exercise the rights that we want to equip them with jointly. So if there shall be the exercising of a statutory right, then that would require a certain voting threshold so that no single SOIC could exercise such powers. That model got so much traction that we were able to agree on it as the new reference model for our upcoming second public comment report. And I consider, and I'm sure you will agree, this to be a breakthrough in our work, because the legal vehicle for exercising community powers if need be, and make them sufficiently robust to substantially increase ICANN's accountability was one of the major hurdles. Also, we had more discussions starting in Buenos Aires on who the community would be. So that would be the existing SOs and ACs, but then the question is who can exercise voting rights. And EFEC and ARSEC, whom we had allocated voting rights or votes to, had indicated to us that they would prefer to maintain their advisory role and not exercise any voting rights. Yet they would like to be invited to the table when it comes to deliberating community positions and decisions. So ESSEC and ARSEC will be removed from the voting scheme for our upcoming report. With respect to the role of the Governmental Advisory Committee, there has been a questionnaire issued by the GAC to GAC members, and many of them have responded, and it appears like there is quite a big variety of views inside the GAC as to whether the GAC should be merely advisory or whether the government should be merely advisory or whether they should also have voting powers. So currently, we cannot foresee the GAC to have formed a decision on that for the Dublin meeting, which is the time at which we hope all the SOs and ACs will approve our recommendations. And therefore, we can, I think, with a high probability, expect that the GAC will stick to its advisory role and that our system is designed to be sufficiently open to allow for a change of that so that the government, should they wish to do so, change their way of contributing to the community at a later stage. Again, this new model doesn't require any formalities by the SOs and ACs. Everything will be embedded in the bylaw language. We don't need an extra body to be managed, if you wish. The community comes together to discuss important topics anyway. So this community forum, as we might wish to call it, would assemble, it would discuss important decisions, and then it would take decisions if it has to do so. Leaving the legal vehicle, the model aside for a moment, it is still our hope, and we will put that into our report as well, that everything that needs to be done inside ICANN can be done by virtue of consensus building, and that the community powers that got so much support from the community will only have to be invoked if there is a need to do so. So let me conclude by saying that we also refine the independent review process. We defined other areas of our work, such as work on diversity, on human rights, on SOAC accountable. That's the watch the watchers concept, because we need to make sure that an empowered community itself is also accountable. Not all of that is going to be worked in prior to the transition, but we're currently in a stage where we are working on remaining questions for our second public comment period, which is going to start on the 31st of July for 40 days. And I would like to encourage all of you to take a look at the communique we've issued after the Paris meeting that contains a link to a presentation on the different community mechanisms. That's, I think, quite a good recommendation for reading so that you can understand what we're doing. I think I should pause here. I'd like to encourage those that have concerns with where that we're going to let our group know before we start the public comment period, because the least we can afford to take place is that we're going to hear major criticism after the public comment period, because that would jeopardize approval in Dublin, and if we jeopardize approval in Dublin, the CCWG-CWG relationship might also be impacted. You know that there are a lot of dependencies, which I think we all fulfill, and it would be unfortunate, to say the least, if we would hear your concerns only in the 11th hour. I think I should pause here and open it up for questions. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you, Thomas, and I'll defer immediately to Philip Corwin, who has his hand up. So go ahead, Philip.
Yes, thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, Philip, go ahead.
Okay. Thomas, thanks for the report. It's not a concern, but a question. As I understood, you said that the question of whether the GAC will remain exclusively advisory or will have some voting role within this single member on the decisions whether or not to invoke certain accountability measures is up in the air and is unlikely to be resolved by the Dublin meeting. I'm just wondering whether there was any discussion in Paris of whether, if at some point the GAC decides it does want voting rights within that single member structure, whether that those voting rights would be consistent with the NTIA condition regarding no governmental control of ICANN. It wouldn't give them control, but it would change their role to some significant degree. So was that discussed at all in Paris?
Well, we did discuss the whole area of topics with respect to government's role in ICANN. What I can say is that one of the responses that were received to the GAC questionnaire came from the U.S., and in that, the U.S. government, NTIA, has, or the U.S. government, I should rather say, has confirmed that that they would like to see governments either having an advisory role or a voting power. So there is no formal requirement for the transition issued by the GAC. We can certainly take the U.S. government's response to the questionnaire as guidance with respect to that. But also let me say that one of the countries that were very much in favor of giving voting rights to the Governmental Advisory Committee has confirmed through its representative, as a preliminary answer, I should clarify, that there will likely need to be a trade-off because, there are two additional requests or features of our work that do not only come into play when it comes to governments, but also when it comes to other actors. And that is, number one, to keep our system sufficiently open for new participants to enter. So let's say we had a supporting organization on Internet of Things at some point in time. We would need to be flexible enough to allow for that. And the second point is that our system must not allow for a single interest group to take control over ICANN or to have excessive rights. So this concern does not go for a single group, but it applies to all groups in the ICANN ecosystem that we need to avoid capture. So I think, Phil, this is maybe not a 100% satisfactory answer to your question, but I hope that it can shed some light on where we stand with that discussion.
Well, thank you very much for the response.
Thank you. Thanks, Philip. Thanks, Thomas. Go ahead, James.
Hi, Jonathan. James speaking. Thank you, and thank you, Thomas, for updating that. I think it was a fairly good meeting in Paris, and I do thank Thomas and the other co-chairs for really getting us unstuck a little bit, because I admit I was a little downhearted coming out of Buenos Aires at where we were, and I feel much better about the group now. And to Phil's point, I share a lot of the same concerns that Phil raised, and just wanted to point out, and perhaps Thomas said this, and if so, I'll just repeat for emphasis. I didn't see what I would call a unified GAC position on some of these questions. It was just more some governments are responding more strongly on certain points than others, and it is something that I think that was that caught the attention of the rest of the community, and the non-government participants were was an active point of discussion throughout the rest of the community. I'll just leave it at that. Thanks.
Thanks, James, and thanks, Thomas, for that update. It does seem like you moved a lot further. Is there any response you'd like to make to James or anyone else, Thomas, before I know you've got a tight time constraint?
No, just to maybe make it very clear that we think that our group has made sufficient progress to stick to the timeline we issued. And that means that unless we get pushback to our report that we're going to put out in a few days, we think we are on track. So I confirm James's observation that after Buenos Aires, things didn't look that up, that good. But now I'm very much on the optimistic side that our group will live up to expectations by the community to not jeopardize the transition.
Okay, thanks, Thomas. That's very encouraging then, and you must be encouraged. Well, I think we should let you get on with that piece of work now since we're past the top of the hour. Thanks for the update, and good luck with getting your report out for public comment.
Thanks, Jonathan. Bye, everyone. Thank you for your attendance. Bye-bye.
Why not? All right, I think that leaves us the opportunity then to move on to the next item, which is an opportunity to get an under item 7 an update and potentially some discussion on the work going on new GTLD auction proceeds. Now, here you'll be aware that we, of the very recent history whereby we as the GNSO, Council initiated some discussion about the prospective cross-community working group on new GTLD auction proceeds. That was received favorably by the various supporting organizations and ACs that we reached out to, and various expressions of interest were received. And however, before proceeding further, we ended up with a couple of meetings taking place in Buenos Aires to really flesh out some of the issues, process points, and related areas of activity. And those took place in two forums in Buenos Aires. One was the so-called cross-community high-interest session, which took place on the Monday, and that was a sort of, if you like, an ICANN-hosted session on behalf of the broader community. And in addition, there was a session which we essentially initiated on the Wednesday, where there was input from a select group of CCNSOs who themselves have had to deal with community-based process to access fund management. And we had Steve Crocker of the ICANN board providing input there. And so together, those two areas produced a range of valuable and interesting input. And one of the suggestions that came out of, in fact, the high-interest session, I think, on the Monday, that was sort of further developed, a little bit of momentum during the course of the meeting, was the prospect of a discussion paper preceding the work of the cross-community working group. Now, in my mind, this is an analogy or analogous to the preparation of an issue report, if you like. It's a form of scoping document that takes into account various inputs and sets the scene in order to effectively set the working group or the group that initially develops the charter, in fact, on their way in the most well-informed manner possible. So that's where we seem to settle coming out of the Buenos Aires meeting, and to that extent I prepared, as agreed, and sent off a note to the various SO and AC chairs and the various stakeholder group, GNSO stakeholder group and constituency chairs, and also included the ICANN board in that correspondence, which was actually finally sent off yesterday, informing them of the plan to do the work on the discussion paper and make sure that, as and when the cross-community working group commenced its work in earnest, that it was as well informed as possible based on broad community input encapsulated in a discussion paper. There's two attractions to that, at least two. One is, as I've outlined already, that we end up with a very well-informed basis for the work of the cross-community working group. And in effect, it also creates a measured pace at which to do this work. And we're all acutely aware of both the size and importance of this topic, dealing with the auction funds, but also the stretch that community resources are currently under. So, those are some thoughts, and that sort of set the scene a little. I note that Amma's point on the thinking that the high-interest topic was very much focused on the substance of the topic rather than the process to deal with it, and that's less than perfect. And I think in many ways that's a critical point. This is not, in the first instance, about how to apportion or allocate the funds, but rather to have a well-worked process to deal with such funds and to make sure we're very well equipped to do that. So any thoughts or comments? I mean, this is, I guess, fundamentally an update, but of course there's always the opportunity to take comments, questions, or input. The timing of the proposed of a draft of the discussion paper is, the plan is to try and get that out by the end of August, such that it can be then put out for public comment. So it's not just simply going to be a fait accompli. Like many things we work on, it'll be subject to further discussion and via the public comment process. Any comments, questions, or issues that this raises for the council at this stage? Amr, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. This is Amr. To be honest, I haven't had a chance to read this yet. I think there was a letter also circulated to the NCSG on this topic, which I also haven't had a chance to read. It might be the same one. But to me right now, I'm just not very clear on what the next steps are. When we left this off at our last council meeting, there was some issue with populating the charter drafting team. If I'm not mistaken, ALAC had promised that they would get this done as soon as possible. Is the membership of the charter drafting team complete at this point? And then what exactly are the next steps? If you could highlight those for me right now, I would be grateful. Thank you.
Good point and good question. In essence, we have effectively slowed this down. So rather than go straight into a charter drafting team, which you remember correctly was not fully populated, and we will need to recheck the population of that charter drafting team when it commences its work in earnest. But prior to doing that, the plan now is to take broad community input as provided in the high interest topic session, as provided through the session we hosted as the GNSO in Buenos Aires, and any other input that has been provided, and structure that into a discussion paper, which will then be published for public comment early September, and following the revision of that for public comment, then to constitute the drafting team in earnest and hand over to that drafting team the discussion paper as a key piece of information or basis from which they might start their work. So that's the plan. So we've effectively slowed things down and created the opportunity for more background information to be consolidated in a structured way. If that's a new hand, come in and make your point again.
Thanks, Jonathan, and thanks for the explanation. Just to be clear, as opposed to the actual cross-community working group conducting this outreach to the community, is the purpose of the outreach at this stage, is it sort of like what we would have in a GNSO process of an issue scoping phase prior to a charter drafting team taking on its work and then a cross-community working group following that? If that is the purpose, I guess that would answer my question. If not, if I would seek further clarification. Thank you.
I think that's pretty close to the position. You might call it a preliminary issue report is probably the most accurate way of describing it in GNSO speak. But I think I am very conscious that this isn't a solely GNSO effort, which is why we haven't used GNSO terminology. But in essence, it's in the form of a preliminary issue report setting out the scope in advance of the charter drafting team. Thanks, Summer. And just to be clear, this in no way precludes the charter drafting team from doing any of its own work, but really provides it with a structured foundation and a form of credibility at the outset that there's been some initial broad community into the framing of the topic. Indeed, to your very first point you made, dealing with issues such as the fact that there's got to be a structure to this. This isn't simply about leaping straight in and saying, right, where should the funds be dispersed to? Where should the money go? This is much more about making sure that there's the appropriate structures and processes in advance of, those need to be established prior to, well, they are the basis on which one would then establish where the allocation of funding would go. Who will be conducting the outreach at this point? Well, the outreach was conducted via the Buenos Aires public meeting, via those two sessions. The discussion paper will be prepared by ICANN staff and then posted for public comment. I know one of the points that's interesting, one of the points that Steve Crocker has made is that he's keen that this, this topic receives attention outside of the ICANN community as far as possible. So I guess that will be incumbent on the staff publishing the discussion to make sure that we circulate it as broadly as possible and make sure that it's well known that this work is going on within the ICANN community such that any others who may not follow very closely all of the myriad work going on in the ICANN community but may have a specific interest in this topic can make themselves known. So hopefully we're doing a thorough job here and a careful job, and we can make sure that there's no tension or issue with the ICANN board, that the community is doing a responsible and thorough job of this. Personally, I think we've shown great community maturity in the work that's been done in both of the cross-community working groups dealing with ICANN accountability and the IANA transition, and so we've built a great platform on which to take the next substantial and sizable issue and show that the sort of community is maturing, and not only can we work with relevant matters within the GNSO, but we can also work more broadly in the cross-community way, and this is a great topic to take that further. Okay, thank you for your questions, Amma. It's great to interrogate these things a little and make sure they're properly understood whoever is participating and the check. So thank you for that. And seeing no other hands, I'll draw a line under item 7 and move us on to item 8, which is the proposed election timetable for the GNSO Council Chair. As you know, this is an annual event that takes place at the election of a new council chair takes place at the annual meeting in or around October. And so we are heading up to that time again. And we will propose to formally adopt the timetable at the next council meeting in early September, but there's an opportunity to have a look at this now and be aware of it coming along so as to make sure that this gets as wide as possible coverage and the discussion in the different groups and thoughts about candidates and effective running of the council and that we get the best possible candidate stepping forward within a structured process. Staff, do you have a document to share that timetable at this stage so the council can review the headline points? I'm not sure if you have something you can post to the meeting room. If you do, that would be great. If not, we will have to share that on lists shortly. But there is a draft timetable that should be available either now or very shortly and that we will propose to formally adopt at the next council meeting. If you don't have a document to prepare, maybe someone who's got that document in front, Mariko or another member of staff, could just highlight the critical points in that timetable.
This is Mariko. I'm just going to pull it up in Adobe Connect now. If you give me 1 second.
Thanks, Mariko. And then I will take off that. Okay, so here you have in front of you the key elements of the timetable, and we will formally adopt this at the next meeting, as I say. But essentially, the key points to be aware of here is that this proposes to have a submission from each house, should each house choose to submit a nominee, by the 25th of September. So this is something the houses and the stakeholder groups and constituencies within the houses need to be aware of, and to the extent that you're in the Northern Hemisphere and away on any kind of summer vacation during August, this is something to pick up immediately in September. And that'll be what we need to do. There'll be a requirement for a candidacy statement, which will be due very shortly after that, 1 week after that. So anyone who is a candidate nominated by the 25th of September, approximately 1 week later, there'll be a requirement to provide a statement. And then those candidates are likely to have some form of interview or opportunity to interact directly with the GNSO via the council managed weekend sessions in Dublin, and that will lead then to us running the standard council meeting on the Wednesday, 21st of October in Dublin, and then coming as we've done in the past, we'll run the meeting, deal with the standard business that closes out that year of business, if you like, and then invite the new councillors to join the next meeting, a follow-on meeting, and the new councillors or those remaining on the council will be responsible collectively for electing the new council chair. So, any thoughts or comments or points on that? It's fairly standard. It's along the lines of what we've done previously, but we will formally adopt this. We'll publish it as a draft now. Please make your groups aware of it. Please be aware of it yourselves and do whatever you can to try and ensure that we get the best possible candidates coming forward to stand ultimately for GNSO Council Chair. Important job, obviously, responsible one, and one that, as I highlighted before, requires significant time commitment on behalf of the individual who takes it up. Okay, seeing no comments on that, we'll expect that it'll be more or less a formality. There's a good question from Carlos about do the co-chairs remain? Not necessarily. For example, I mean, there's a couple of issues. One of the co-chairs could become could be the candidate for the chair. There are also issues with respect to the stakeholder group. To the best of my knowledge, you wouldn't have a co-chair and a chair from the same stakeholder group. So there's a knock-on implication for that as well. So should a chair candidate be nominated by one of the houses from the same stakeholder group that the current vice chair is, but it not being that current vice chair, then there will be an implication for the vice chair. So there are some implications for the vice chairs. One or both could be house nominees for the chair position, and to the extent that they aren't and the nominee is from the same stakeholder group, there would be a need to change the vice chairs, if my memory serves me correctly. Thanks for that question, Carlos. So there'll need to be some work done for those council leadership positions over the next the forthcoming month or so. Right, we've got a few items under any other business, so I'll move us on then on to item 9, the any other business items, and let's work through those. The first one, 9.1, deals with a staff request for a time extension in preparing the issue report on new GTLD subsequent rounds. You will have seen that request came to the council list recently. The initial plan was to do this within, I think, 40 days or 45 days from the receipt of the discussion paper. But there was a request made. So perhaps someone from staff might like to just sort of remind us of the nature of that request, and then I'll call for any comments or questions.
Hi, this is Steve from staff. And I was the one that sent the request in to the council list. As the preliminary initial report is quite substantial. We're actually looking at each of the issues that, if you recall, in looking at the charter, there's a number of separate subjects. We're actually looking at each of those individual subjects for in-depth analysis. And we believe this is a necessary step to properly scope the issues and to ensure that both the council is aware of all the issues, as well as the wider public when this is published for public comment, and then also to effectively set up the working group to be able to operate effectively if and when it does actually lead to a PDP. So staff is requesting an extension until the preliminary issue report to be delivered at the end of August. This would actually jeopardize the possible delivery and initiation of the PDP in Dublin, which was discussed as the very earliest possible initiation for the PDP. And I actually just did want to point out that timeline was dependent upon some accelerated and contracted timelines for some of the steps within the issue report steps. So I think that would have required a shortened portion for the final report. So I just wanted to point out that, you know, based on the actual schedule for getting a little feedback there, it would actually have the final issue report being delivered sometime actually in the middle of the Dublin meeting. So I did just want to point that out as well. So the possible delay here is the delay here would not be quite as substantial as it might appear. I think that's all I want to say there.
Thanks, Steve. I think one other question that might be useful to answer is, has something changed in order to make this happen, or has the scope of the work simply just, as you've undertaken the work, the extent of the work, you've just realized quite how much there is to do, or has something changed which made you have to re-estimate? Because that would be useful to understand, I think.
This is Steve again from staff. I think you touched on it there. That is just once we actually sat down and started working on it, we realized how substantial the amount of work is. We had a sense that this might be the case, and I think we hinted at the fact that it might take a little bit longer than anticipated. So as I mentioned, you know, we're looking at each of the subjects that were identified in the charter individually, which, you know, it doesn't necessarily translate to, you know, that many different individual issue reports, but the scope is more substantial than perhaps your normal issue report where you're looking at a limited set of issues rather than extensive lists that we're looking at now. I think it's just, you know, come to the realization that there's a lot of work to do here.
Okay, and Marika notes that this is not the first time that an extension has had to be asked for, and it's something we need to think about whether it is a realistic time. Are there any other comments or questions from councillors in relation to this request for an extension report? Is there anything else anyone would like to comment for the best, Steve or Marika, or any other thing that anyone would like to get on record? Stephanie, go ahead. Stephanie, I don't hear you yet.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, Stephanie.
Ah, very good. Sorry about that. Stephanie Perrin for the record. This is more a question of substance rather than the process. I find the request for an extension reasonable because there do seem to be a lot of issues, and one of them, it seems to me, is a policy issue. When we were in Washington for our intersessional meeting, Fadi spoke to us about the need to get to work on the concept of public interest. And it does seem to me that until we get a better grip on what we mean by in the public interest, we shouldn't be moving forward on scoping the next round because there's an awful lot of problems that stem from that. I just wondered if that's an issue in that you're dealing with in the issue report.
Okay, thanks, Stephanie. And obviously you refer there to the NCSG intersessional meeting that took place in Washington earlier this year. Is there any comment or response from staff in relation to the scope of the issue report and dealing with the issue of public interest, or is this something that's effective in this particular issue report? Okay, and Steve comments, Steve Chan from staff comments in the chat that the area of global public interest is indeed listed as a subject for analysis within the scope here. And apologies for my oral typo referring to it as the NCSG intersessional when it was a non-contracted parties house intersessional. Come in, Heather. Go ahead, Heather.
Thank you, Jonathan. I would like to make some comments on behalf of the IPC. There isn't objection in principle to the extension that's been requested. However, there has been a significant amount of discussion within the constituency as to perhaps assurances having been made by staff that this would not be delayed by accountability by IANA transition, by any other ongoing ICANN activity, and here we are now with a request for a delay, and I just wanted to note for the record that those concerns have been raised. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. I'm not sure if there's any response or comment to that, but that's useful to get that on record. So go ahead, Edward. You're next in line.
Thanks, Jonathan. This isn't the first extension request we've had recently. And the question to the staff is very simple. Do you guys need more help? Are you properly staffed? Is this something we should be looking into?
Any, Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. On that point, and I'm happy to report that I think kindly thanks as well to the support of Genius Oak Council has been given in relation to the budget discussions. We'll soon have a vacancy published for someone to join the Genius Oak team. So additional hands are coming on board, and of course with efforts like the Next Generation RDS as well as this PDP, we can use all the help we need. So as I said, hopefully we'll soon have more hands. And even though there's a lot of work going on, I don't think this is a delay we're asking here is not necessarily the result of a lack of staff support. But as Steve pointed out, the time frame is relatively short, and there are quite a number of issues that need to be covered or expect to be covered as part of the issue report. So we hope as well that the extension we're asking is minimal. And I think as Steve pointed out as well, we actually anticipate that as well and may actually provide an additional opportunity to flag the preliminary issue report to the broader community as part of the Dublin meeting and ensure as well that everyone's aware of this effort and able to provide their views on this topic as it moves on to the next step.
Good. Thanks for that, Marika. Go ahead, Amar. You're next in line.
Thanks, Jonathan. This is Amar. And yeah, I was just going to basically say that the concerns raised by Heather on behalf of the IPC and Edward as well were quite founded. And I guess most of what I would have responded would have been in line with what Marika just said. I would just add that this is not an issue that is catching us off guard. The GNSO Council, I guess, did sort of foresee that there may be problems in this area, which is why we pointed it out in our comments submitted during the public comment period for the ICANN budget and strategic plan. And in response to this, there has been some budget allocated to hiring two full-time employees to add to the muscle of ICANN policy support staff. So hopefully that will make a difference. Heather's absolutely correct. This is not the first time we've been seeing these requests for extensions, and we have noted those, and hopefully this is something we have planned for and mitigated for in terms of future possible occurrences. Thanks.
Thanks, Amar. Edward, is that a new hand? Is it you coming in again onto this? Okay, well, unsurprisingly, I mean, to me at least, and perhaps to others of you, there's been some reasonably substantial discussion over this, and it's more substantial than one would normally expect under a sort of any other business item, but given the substance of the issue to be covered in the issue report and the concern, the timing, it's hardly surprising. It strikes me that we don't... we are more or less in a position where we have to accept the request for an extension. We've covered the discussion. It's on record in the council's meeting, the concerns or issues arising. So I think we have to go on. My suggestion to the council, unless you object, and I'd like you to let me know if you do, is that we grant the extension and recognize that the request... the question is, should we note anything? I think probably it's suffice to say that we should note that there was some discussion of the issues around this and that any interested party should follow the record of this council meeting in order to track that. And I note from Brett a final comment that we should support the staff request for more time but should be careful not to make this a pattern, and I'll record overall that there has been quite some effort over recent times to ensure that the overall timing of PDPs does not extend unduly, and we've done quite a lot of work to try and compress the time frames wherever possible, but also those points that were made, that there have been there's been more than one extension request lately. And then Heather's point in the chat about the prospective sensibility of increasing the public comment period. I wonder if we need to make that decision now. That's certainly something to consider, but right now we have the request for the extension, and I'm not sure that that's necessarily, I think it's certainly, that's maybe also something to note. So perhaps we could note, accept the request for the extension, note that there has been some discussion, and that we will need to resolve the length of the public comment period. So, Avery, when you say you suggest we just accept it, you mean we don't record any notes? Is that your suggestion?
Essentially, yes. I mean, this is an incredibly difficult... this is Avery speaking. Essentially, yes. First of all, it's an incredibly complicated report that we've asked for, and I wouldn't have been surprised at a request for an extension, even if this had been the only thing, one or two people's plates that were writing it. And, you know, I guess I just don't understand the stress over an extension on getting this written. And so, I suggest that we accept it. I think the staff knows that, you know, that they're trying to meet all these many requirements, even without the other stuff. And this part of our policy staff is not the policy staff that's working on the accountability and all the other stuff. That's a different group of people. So I really wish we would just sort of graciously say, sure, you need more time, take it. Thanks.
Understood, Avery, and I don't see anything particularly ungracious about the response of the council. For me, it was important to record that there had been quite some discussion, and so that if anyone was interested to understand that there was a reference made to it. I didn't want to be sweeping that under the carpet in any way. So I'd like to sort of stick with that to some extent and just say, yes, we accept the extension, and note that there was some discussion, and that if anyone interested would like to follow that, they are welcome to peruse the records of the council. Or words to that effect. All right, let's grant that issue, that request, and then note that we still will need to deal with the time of the public comment, and let's move on then to item 9.2, which is a requirement to discuss the appointments of three experts from the GNSO, to join the new working group to review IDN guidelines. And I guess what we're looking for here is, I'm not sure if anyone would like to add to this from staff or anyone else, but I suspect we're looking for potentially the volunteers to do this or to locate these three, or assistance in locating these experts. Mary, go ahead and come in on voice if you'd like to add anything.
Hi, Jonathan. Hi, everybody. So not really to add anything, but just to emphasize that the three experts GNSO would need to be endorsed by the GNSO. So while it would probably be helpful to have each stakeholder group consider if they wanted somebody on that working group, that ultimately the council would presumably have to sign off on whoever those three experts are.
So then it feels to me it makes sense that the council writes to the stakeholder groups, doesn't it, Mary, and corresponds with the stakeholder groups and reminds them of this call and says, do they have anyone they would like to put forward because we'd like to endorse them. And do we need to endorse them? Isn't there a relatively short deadline for that endorsement?
Yes, unfortunately, that they'd like to get this group going, and you might recall that this has been under discussion for some time. So it is a deadline of 3rd of August. I don't know that how strict that is. This is not a policy project I can check, but I think, Jonathan, you're right that if there can be coordination between the council and each stakeholder group sooner rather than later, that would be very helpful.
Okay, I'll come to you, Brett, in a moment then, but then I think we really need to send something out to the stakeholder groups seeking any suggestions for those experts and referring to the link to the call and seek that. Mary, are you aware, has anyone been put forward at this stage? Do we have any names being put forward at this stage?
Jonathan, not to my knowledge. What we did have was an informal community group where there were several volunteers, including a couple from the registry group. Unfortunately, as I said in my email, that group did not actually produce a list of issues as requested. But for what it's worth, there were people who volunteered for that group who may well be interested, and I can send those names to the council if you would like.
Well, I would think that what might be sensible there is when we call for those volunteers, call for those names, that we reference the names of those that were in the group previously so that we can link the two topics. Let's get a communication out immediately, and if necessary, we will have to formally endorse this at the next council meeting. That's the only way forward I can see, unless someone's got a better or different idea. Brett, you've had your hand up for a while. Come in.
Three seems like not very many slots. I know that we, from the registry constituency, we've had three people express interest, and I think they're all very capable. I know we've had Jin from China, someone, let me pull up his name here. Just had it open. Dennis Tanaka from Verisign, and I believe Ruben Kools from Brazil had all expressed interest from the registry constituency. So I know we've got at least three people from the GNSO so interested, but how we narrow it down to three is going to be difficult.
Thanks, Brett. I must say I'm not intimately familiar with a call. Is it limited to three, or is it a minimum of three? What's the requirement there? Do we have a... Go ahead, Mary.
Thanks, Jonathan. I think the suggestion was three because this is going to be... I won't use the term cross-community working group, but the idea is to have representatives from across the community who are going to be affected by these issues. So that's the suggestion from the staff in charge of the project.
Okay, well, let's get the call out. Let's see how many names we get, and if it ends up being close to three, that may be acceptable. If it ends up being significantly more, we might need to do some work on that in order to narrow it down somehow and work with alternates or something like that. Okay, I think that deals with that one. Item 9.3 is then the selection of a PDP working group for a facilitated face-to-face meeting. Now, here is a program where there's an extra day put onto an ICANN meeting for a working group to get together to have a face-to-face meeting with the idea that this is a more productive session or at least moves the work forward rapidly in a way that wouldn't necessarily take place on standard call telephone call type meetings or Adobe Connect type meetings. And I this is as flagged in the item, it's part of the continued GNSO Council pilot project to improve PDP effectiveness. I think there is a proposal for a group on this. Can staff remind me? There's certainly one group that's proposed, which is I think the privacy proxy group. Is there more than one proposed, or are we just on the privacy proxy group? And are there? Go ahead, Mary.
Thanks, Jonathan. Yes, it is the privacy proxy group, and the staff has looked at the list of projects we have and PDPs and who's in what stage, and it seemed that for the privacy proxy group, because of their extending their timeline, which would go beyond Dublin, at this stage of their work, that they would be a good candidate. What I should add is that this was discussed amongst the working group on that call this week, and there is some interest in doing that face-to-face meeting, but the group hasn't, you know, definitively said that it would like to. I think it would be, and obviously if the council would be the ones to make the selection, I think the working group would welcome the council confirming that this group should be the one, should the group choose to want to do it.
Okay, well, that seems like the right way forward, that we just communicate as a council to that group that based on analysis by staff, the council accepts that this group would benefit most from the face-to-face meeting, and we would appreciate confirmation as soon as possible whether they would like to take this up. Are there any concerns or objections with that approach? All right, Mary, let's get a note out from the council to the group as soon as possible in order to convey that message, and then we'll get a confirmation or not from them whether they'd like to take that up. 9.4 is an item raised by, I think, Avery on list and then further supported by David Cake. Regarding the IETF proposal for a special use domain name. I'm not sure who would like to introduce that. I'll give the opportunity to either David or Avery to introduce this point and see whether there is any action we need to take at this stage. Go ahead, Avery.
Okay, this is Avery speaking. And I'm not so much recommending that there's an action that we want to take. And possibly it's because I am attending the IETF meeting this week, and this was such an important topic here. But basically, this process with RFC 6761, which in the special use names that first came into place with .home and now is moving on to .onion and .alt. And what really concerns me is that there isn't a communication between the two organizations on this thing. So, you know, I come to the IETF meeting. I had sort of taken my eye off this for a little bit, although I think I've actually brought it up to the GNSO Council in the past, that we now have, you know, two different ways to assign TLDs. And I just think that it's something we needed to be aware of. We need to decide at some point if there is an issue. RFC 6761 is, you know, a proposed standard. There will be more applications for special use general TLD. I guess they're special use TLDs. They're not GTLDs. But it's something that I think, whether it's part of the new GTLD process or some other, that we really just need to have sort of an awareness of it and perhaps even a communication path so that we know in the GNSO what's happening and that there's communication back and forth on it. And so in seeing this one so close to acceptance, I personally don't see a problem with it, but I really wanted to make sure that, A, it's not just my opinion that I don't see a problem with it, but that we use this occasion to start thinking about how we want to pay attention to that in the GNSO. Now, once I leave,
you know, the GNSO Council at the end of the year. I'll be much more part of the IETF process of creating special use names, and so perhaps I just should keep my mouth shut. But it just seems like something that should be on the Council's radar, and that's why I brought it up. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. It's a good point. And I'll have a question. I see David's coming in as well, but I have a quick question which could be for apologies. I see David is waiting, but I just wanted to have a quick question about I know there's an IETF liaison to the board. I wonder if there's been any history of how IETF work is liaised with the GNSO, what format or that's taken in the past. So if anyone wants to comment on that in relation to this topic, please raise your hand. And David, you come in now, please. David, we don't have you on audio yet.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we
can hear you. Sorry, I just had a technical problem there just at that right second. I had to switch from headset to Adobe Connect. I've been following this issue pretty closely. I don't have any concerns about this particular proposal. I don't think the .onion name is one that there is interest within, you know, that is likely to cause any problems within ICANN. Like, I don't think anyone will be interested in registering it particularly and so on. But it does raise a lot of issues on future concerns. For example, the .alt domain name, which is not currently, you know, likely to go through at any points, but might be of interest to some within the GNSO. So a name that might be considered, you know, if it becomes contention between people within the ICANN process that want to use a name and people within the IETF process that want to reserve it and so on, there's a lot of issues where a better coordination might be possible. So I think, particular proposal should more or less go through. It raises a lot of issues about how we consider coordination between the two bodies in the future. I do think it's important to note that the names that go through this IETF process almost always have proved names that are unsuitable for registration within the ICANN TLD process, because everything in the ICANN process is aimed at delegation, and these are names that often explicitly they do not want delegated and dealt with by anything like the normal domain name system as we know it. But still, there's a lot of interesting. There are issues of coordination between the two bodies, which I think at the moment the board seem to be sort of saying we perhaps should deal with these informally by just having people who are in both, but that's probably not I think many people are starting to think that in the long term that might not be a reliable solution. That's all.
Thanks, David. Mary, I think you were next before I go to James. So go ahead, Mary.
Jonathan, I was actually raising my hand on behalf of Steve Sheng, who would like to speak especially to your question. So, Steve, if you're on the call.
Yes, Mary. Thank you. Jonathan, you have a question about the liaison role on this issue. I know that last year the IETF liaison sent a statement, the IAB statement, to the ICANN board, and that was later copied, forwarded to the GNSO. At that note, you were saying at that time the IETF is starting up the discussion and invite participation of interested parties, including members of the ICANN community, in that work. And I think as a result, David participated in those efforts. So here in the conversation, I would agree with Avery and David that more and better coordination and discussions on this topic is warranted. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. So then I'm just going to, for the moment, because we've clearly got a time constraint, and before I go to James, I'd like to capture this action that the Council needs to consider whether there is scope for improved and possibly formalized future coordination with IETF, between GNSO and IETF activities. So if we could just capture that as an action, please, Glenn, and then we can come back to this. In the meantime, James, I'll go to you.
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. I think you've hit on it, and it's something I raised back when we were on agenda item number 5. I'm glad to hear that we are that we do have a liaison on the IETF to the board, but I think that this issue in particular, and also the RDAP issue and perhaps some others, really make a case for closer coordination at the GNSO level, because I think that there are some policy issues that are not necessarily being directly addressed, but perhaps obliquely discussed within the IETF, and some of the things coming out of that body will constrain future policy work or have that potential. So just adding my voice to Aubrey's that this is a concern that we that there is not currently a formal channel, and I think that there needs to be one.
Okay, well, we haven't quite resolved this, but it's clear there's some sufficient concern and points of note here. So we'll capture it as an action to do some more work on this. We'll welcome any other points on list, and we'll think about what the best mechanics of that are. We've just hit the top of the hour. There is one other item to be related to the planning for ICANN 54, but I think we can take that off list. It's typically the responsibility of the vice chair in coordination with the chair and policy staff, so we'll work together on that. From memory, it's David is the vice chair working on this. He'll be working with myself and the staff on this for the Dublin meeting, so we'll pick that up on list. We need to get moving on that. And with that, I think I'll just check if there's anything else anyone else needs to raise. Ah, there's Philip. Now, that point is somehow missing from this list, so I've missed off Philip Corwin's point that he wanted to raise. Go ahead, Philip.
Thank you, Jonathan. I'll make this as brief as possible, and the reason this is getting on the list so late is that this is something which just arose, came to my attention in my capacity as co-chair of the IGO Curative Rights Process Working Group yesterday. Yesterday we received a copy of a letter to Fadi Chahadi from Angel Gurria, apologies if I'm mispronouncing that, of the OECD, detailing that there was a meeting last week in Paris attended by Chris Despain of the board, Thomas Schneider, chair of the GAC, representatives from the UN, WIPO, and the Universal Postal Union, and several ICANN staff members. There's an assertion in the letter that the matters concerning protection of IGO acronyms in the domain name system are becoming increasingly critical, and then there's an announcement that there was an agreement at this meeting in Paris that the OECD and the IGO colleagues will work with Chris Despain, the GAC, and ICANN staff to draft a comprehensive proposal on IGO protections for the GNSO's consideration. Now, let me tell you where our working group is. I'm co-chairing a working group that's becoming increasingly restive. We made very substantial progress early on. We have one remaining issue, which is to make a decision on whether we need a new curative rights process based on the appeals mechanism, which in turn is based upon the scope of sovereign immunity of IGOs. Staff put us in contact with a purported expert on that issue months ago. The person we were put in touch with was not up to date on current legal thinking on that issue, as we're not particularly, it was a consensus view of the working group. They were not particularly helpful. We've been working with staff, and my comments here are in no way critical of our staff for the working group, Mary and Steve, but they've been doing a great job. But we're still waiting for identification of some experts and for approval of some modest funding to get their assistance. The concern raised here is that this letter appears to say that the GAC, ICANN staff, and some board members want to put together a so-called comprehensive proposal on IGO protections, and that overlaps with the work of our working group. And I believe that raises both procedural issues as well as substantive issues. Now, we do expect to have a call. When I say we, I mean Petter Rinford and I, the co-chairs of the working group, with Krista Spain, Thomas Schneider, and some of these other parties in the next week or so, in which we get a better idea. But frankly, we have a so-called IGO small group, which has been generally non-cooperative and refusing to interface with our working group at all, even though we're trying to assist them in their quest for effective curative rights protections at the second level. And now we see the OECD, which did attend our working group meeting in Buenos Aires and has a very hard-line position on the appeals mechanism, which we're not sure is justified by current legal thinking on the scope of sovereign immunity for IGOs, proposing what I have to tell you is perceived by quite a number of members of my working group as an attempt to end-run our work. So I wanted to flag this issue so the council is aware. I'm not saying it's a problem yet. It all depends on what this comprehensive proposal encompasses. But we have a working group that's bogged down because we can't get the legal expertise we need as input to complete our work. We have an IGO group which has been non-cooperative with our working group and is now engaging with the board and the GAC to seek to develop its own so-called comprehensive proposal, which may impinge on the work of our working group. So I want to make the council aware of this situation, so we'll see what the next steps are. And I'd be happy to take any questions on that report. And again, I brought this issue up at the last minute because the first time our working group saw this July 20th letter was yesterday afternoon.
So, Phil, thanks for that, and it's clear and succinct in the context. What I'm hearing from you is that you want us to you want to go on record of noting this concern. I very much suspect you're not alone with the concern, and that for the moment we don't take any action, but we have recorded the concern, and we await the next meeting that due to take place between yourself, Petter, and anyone else who's involved, and at which point you'll come back to us seeking further action.
Yes, I'm not asking for any council action at this time. I merely wanted to inform the council of the situation. I'll report back to council once we hold that call, which I expect to be scheduled within the next week, and we'll see how this proceeds. But I want to make you aware that I'm co-chairing a working group where the members are becoming increasingly restive over being bogged down, and now with this OECD letter, their concerns are broadening. It raises process concerns as well as potential substance concerns, depending on what this OECD board GAC proposal, so-called comprehensive proposal, encompasses.
All right. Well, let's just record that and note that for the moment, and resolve to come back to it based on where when you next raise it on the back of the meeting that's due to take place. Thank you for bringing that up. It is a concern, and I'm sure you're not alone in that. So I think with that, I'll suggest we bring the meeting to a close. We've overrun slightly. Apologies for that. There was some comprehensive business to cover under this item 9, but thanks, everyone, for your attendance and participation and active work, as usual. Okay, thanks, everyone. With that, we'll call the meeting to a close and look forward to working with you in the interim. And for those of you that are taking some form of summer break, I hope that goes well for you, and we'll be in touch shortly. Thanks again, everyone.